thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Two of the most important verses, I think. Sometimes when I look at these verses, 31 and 32, just two verses, friends. And you know, there's many a time that things, they say, changes the course of history. Yeah. Everybody remembers maybe where you were when you heard about the late Queen dying, or my younger years when President Kennedy was shot. You sort of remember things like that. Every generation is something. But these words from the Lord Jesus is history beyond belief. He's come to the stage in verse 31. Now, if you take the spirit level, this is how he's described the world. In 31, it says, "Now is the judgment of this world." That judgment in Greek, they tell me, means crisis, in other words. Here's the crisis of this world. Here's the crisis of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And he sums it up just in a few words. Downhill. Downhill. Now, this is the judgment. I'm reading for the authorised version here, but of this world. "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." In other words, here's a moment in history that has changed every single person from then until now and to the future. This world, condemnation. But here comes the good news. Here's the power of the cross in 32. "And I," if the Lord Jesus goes on with this to Calvary, "and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." In other words, if you think of the spirit level, this is the world that we're born in. We're born dead. We're born spiritually dead. We're born corrupt in every way. But then came Calvary. "If I be lifted up," then it says, "I will draw all men, women unto me." And it's that word "draw," friends, just for a few minutes this evening. Do you notice how the Lord used the word "draw"? Not driven, not hammered, but he drew, and he drew many of us in here this evening. Spurgeon one time said that the Lord Jesus Christ was like a giant magnet, the magnet of all magnets, to draw his people in, to draw his sheep in. You see, when I bought those two sheep last year, or the four lambs or whatever, they were grand national winners. They could have outraced any horse. They were wild sheep. They were known as easy care sheep. And all you men know that what a low maintenance wife is. Well, these sheep are low maintenance sheep. The wool falls off. Sorry, ladies, I know you hate to go to the hairdressers. But these are sheep, the wool falls off and it sticks to all the fences. Now, I have only two or three of them, so they're all right. If you have 300 or 400 now, the fences be whitewashed with wool at certain times of the year. But they're good feet and they're easy lambing and you don't bother with them. My neighbour who has about 150 of them says he just calls them "whatever will be sheep." In other words, he goes and rounds up the lambs now and again and he would take them out to the market. The only worry he has is a few foxes early on when the wee lambs as we. But I thought, because these pet lambs, I want them to be pets. I wanted the grandchildren to maybe pat their heads and so on. Now, how do I train those sheep and calm them down from jumping over a 10-foot fence? A wee handful of meal in a bucket. And those sheep, you saw them there eating in the trough. Now, it's £12 a bag at the minute. Now, it's hard going. But, you know, a wee handful of meal, I quieten them down. Now, when I want to change them from one paddock to another, all I have to do is rattle the bucket. Just give the bucket a wee rattle. And those sheep would follow me from Ballymena to Ballymoney. Because they're following, you see. That's the picture that Christ has given us here when he says, "I've been drawn." How he draws his people in, how he draws his sheep in. In John 10, 27 and 28, which I've quoted here before, when he speaks to us again in language that we can understand, when he says, "But my sheep will hear my voice." I'm going to draw my sheep in. I'm going to draw my people in. I'm going to bring them in. I've known you before the very foundation of the world. I'm going to bring you in. Gently. I'm going to take you to Calvary. I'm going to take you there. I'm going to let you see what I did for you, that when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. I love a poem there by a man called Walt Huntley. And if you had a Way of Life calendar, if you got one last year, you'd see it on it. This year, sorry. And the first thing I noticed about this man, I didn't know anything about him, but he lived for 100 years. I thought, there's something about a man who lives for 100 years. He was born in like something in 1908 and he went to the Lord in 2008, just the other day really, to us old boys, you know what I mean? And he wrote this poem about Calvary. He had a wonderful way of taking you on a journey. You know, the Bible is full of pictures and illustrations to help us to understand the word in the first place. And he had a wonderful way of bringing the gospel through poetry. Now, I wouldn't be a poet or anything else, far from it. I left school at 15, and the only level I had as one of them. You know, that's reality. But I just love the poem because it takes you on a journey. And it says, I stood one day at Calvary. Friends, come with me. Come on. I stood one day at Calvary where Jesus bled and died. I never knew he loved me so, for me was crucified. And as I stood there in my sin, his love reached down to me. Eventually, you see the drawing power now. His love reached down to me. Oh, the shame that filled my soul that day at Calvary. I think of a young fella, 17, coming out of a nightclub in Banbridge. He had no time for the gospel or anything else. And there were a few discs or two lying, and Trex was lying on the footpad. It was a young farmer's do one New Year's evening over in a place called the Coaches in Banbridge. And as they came doddering out about 2 or 3 in the morning, he grabbed a hold of a wee disc or whatever and stuck it into the car. And he said, it was a wee mini car. Do you remember them? We had 9 in a mini at one time from Greenmount to... Now, you'll not believe this. You think I'm an old sensible boy. Once a time, we had 9 in a mini. These young boys crammed into the mini, and on the way home, they stuck this wee disc in. And they laughed, and they giggled the whole way home. You see, the next night, when he was going to the work himself, the Lord drew him in. Matthew got wonderfully saved that night. And it's not that long ago, he gave his testimony, and he put it down town hall, and I happened to be there that night by a crowd of young ones. But you see, the Lord took him to Calvary. I stood one day at Calvary where Jesus bled and died. I never knew he loved me so, for me was crucified. And as I stood there in my sin, his love reached down to me. Oh, the shame, you see, that filled Matthew's soul. Oh, the shame that has filled your soul at one time if you're saved now. But then, friends, the next verse goes on. I love this verse because it says, I knelt one day at Calvary, on my knees. I knelt one day at Calvary. My eyes were full of tears to think such love I had refused through all those wasted years. And as I knelt, I heard him say, George, I did it all for thee. Put your own name there. I did it all for you. Oh, the love that filled my soul that day at Calvary. You see, when you see Peter ploughing in that wee video there, that's a reversible plough. I plough with ordinary ploughs, but these modern folk, if a plough it turns over, it means you can get back up the same driller again and up the same furrow again. And that's what happens in the new birth, you see. One minute you're going one way, but by the grace of God and the mercy of God, you're turned right over and you're heading a new way now. We did a harvest service a wee while ago over in a place called La Comfort. And this man, he was in his 80s, and he says, George, I want to tell you my story. One Monday morning, I was ploughing in the field. That was a Monday. The soil was nice, the tractor was going well, the seagulls were flying, just a beautiful, peaceful day. And the traffic in the roads. And all of a sudden, he says, I come under this sense of hopelessness, of despair. I didn't really know what was called conviction. I never was a churchy person or anything else, and I was so strong and so intense, he said, that I had to stop the tractor and get down on my knees and the furrows there on the ploughed field. And he said, I cried unto God, if you're really there, Lord, save me. The week before, a wee man from the Gospel Hall reached him a wee track, and he said, I read a few lines of it, but it meant nothing to me. I don't even know what I'd done with it. And now all of a sudden, this Monday morning, I was on my knees in a ploughed field. I don't know what I prayed, he says. But I know one thing, George. I went down on my knees as a child of the devil. Within a few seconds as I rose, I was a child of God, and that was 60 years ago, and I've never looked back. I never looked back. Why? Because I knelt one day at Calvary. My eyes were full of tears to think such love I had refused through all those wasted years. And as I knelt, I heard him say, "But I did it all for thee." That was James Barfoot's dad. If you know anything about tractors, that the Barfoot people are big on tires and stuff over that part of the world. He never looked back. Oh, the love that filled my soul that day at Calvary. You know, friends, then it goes on. The last verses, I prayed one day at Calvary. I prayed. They said, "Lord, I'm thine forevermore. Lord, forgive me for all my sin, my lost estate restored." And as I prayed to me, he gave salvation full and free. Oh, the peace that filled my soul. Friends, that day at Calvary. Have you got that peace this evening? Then you're a billionaire a million times over. Because the Lord has drawn you. He's taken you to the cross. You see what he done for you and done for me at the cross at Calvary. You know, in the Old Testament, Exodus 29, verse 20, it tells us about the blood being placed on, I mean, they were installing priests or whatever they want to call it. It was Aaron at the time. And being a farmer now, our sheep are marked. Now, I have had to get ear tags in my sheep, right? It just happened to be, but my lambs happened to be 316. You don't believe this? Like, a man who's a complete atheist, I bought the sheep off. And it has numbers onto my sheep now. Like, I paid, £100 for them or something? All right. And look, I couldn't believe it when I saw the ear tags. That's the wee yellow bits. Ladies, get your ears pierced. The sheep get their ears pierced, right? 316, 317, 318, 319. Oh, says David, "Have you got any idea what you've done there?" I said, "I've no idea. I've tagged your sheep for you." And I says, "There are wee messages in that. We'll not get into it this evening." But God marks his people. And in Exodus 29:20, it tells us that how blood is placed on the ear, that how blood is placed on the thumb, the hand, and how blood is placed on the toe. In other words, my sheep will hear my voice. That's the ear. That's the ear. The hand to help others, to whatever it is, to use your hands for the glory of God. Look at here this evening. Look behind you. Look. Hands to praise and to glorify God. The feet to go out and tell others. That wee man may be handing out tracts somewhere. Maybe whatever it might be. The ears, the hands, and the feet. And he says, "But my sheep will hear my voice." And he says, "I know them. And they follow me. I'll draw them. And I shall give unto them eternal life." Now here's the good part. Maybe you're feeling a wee bit down this evening. Maybe a wee bit low in your faith even. The world can do that to you. The world, if you're silly enough to listen to this muck that's going on the radio and TV and everyone else, if you're silly enough to even soak any of that up, remember it's all lies, most of it. They're feeding you with the things of this world. They're feeding you constantly. And the more you take in here, the more you'll react to it. But friends, we have been set free. Set free. We don't listen to that sort of stuff. And he will give unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish. And the final good bit, and nobody's ever going to pluck you out of his hand. There's no demon, there's no anything that's going to pluck you out of God's hand. Because when God starts a work in a human being's life, he's going to finish it. It's not like some of the brickies or the plumbers about. They start a dozen jobs and you maybe not see them for a year. Sorry, any tradesmen. I'm a farmer, I like results. But friends, he's going to finish it. And maybe some of you younger people, you're feeling a wee bit like you're not just growing as quick as others. And everybody else maybe seems to be a wee bit more maybe holy than you are, and you don't just seem to have got it yet. Listen to me, friends. That was the greatest revelation that the Lord revealed to me in Psalm 1. And it says, you will produce his fruit in his season. Because I asked that question on many occasions. I only started to speak a wee bit anywhere when the speaker didn't turn up, as I've shared with you before. I was almost 60 years of age. That was only the other day there, by the way. I'm 73 now. But that was when I was. And most of the time I said, Lord, you know, why all the wasted years milking and just farming away there and nothing really happening? Until one day the speaker didn't turn up and I was sort of forced out to share a wee bit somewhere. Never been asked back to that place ever since. Mark will have to give it a wave someday, but anyway. That's just the way it was. And God's maybe going to ask you, young person, Mark or some of the wee team here is going to ask you to maybe say a wee word of testimony or something. And you'll step out an unknown territory and your mouth will be dry and you'll be trembling. You'll maybe not even sleep. I didn't sleep when I was elected under the committee of my own church because I'm going to have to left the collection. I didn't sleep the whole night of it. Been brought up on a farm and shy and backward and never really anywhere. And all of a sudden there was this church committee and I was going to have to go around and lift the collection with the people. Presbyterians, come on. You can't get the plate out. That's the big priority. And I didn't sleep or anything. Then all of a sudden, I had to step out. Almost 60 years of age at the time. And maybe you're a younger person and you're just drifting along and you think there's not an awful lot happening. You remember that verse in Psalm 1. Because God's teaching you and he's giving you an understanding. Because you see, there's a wonderful thing about sheep. Because I sold me 4 lambs, £80 each or whatever, I went and bought some equipment for them. The ones I'd left, that's a wee hoof knife, right? Here's a bit you girls will love. The men will love this too. It's a pair of pliers. It's secateurs for sheep's feet. They're made with the best steel, they'll last guaranteed for 5 years. That's for any of you men that only clips your toenails about twice every 3 years. They'll stand anything. Then a wee bit of spray, just blue spray, that just kills the bugs or whatever. And you know, friends, in life, God has to trim his people now and again. And the biggest problem is pride. So one of the biggest evils the Lord speaks of, there's 7 things which he hates. The first one is pride. And there's times in life when God has to humble his people and humble his sheep. And he takes the nippers to you, whatever it might be. Maybe you think you're going so well in your own strength and God has to remind you have to go in his strength. And sometimes he can put you in your back even to look up and to cry unto God for mercy for every single aspect of your physical life. And God can take you ladies have been doing a bit of pruning or whatever, maybe the rose bushes now and you'd be cutting them down a bit. There are times God has to prune us. That's life. But through that pruning, you'll get stronger. Through that pruning, he's making you more Christ-like as the time goes on, you see. Because he already knows your full life. He already knows how you're going to end up. For some, you'll maybe live to your older age. For others, he can call you home in your early years of life, teenage years or whatever. But our Lord takes the pliers to us now and again. To shape us and to mould us and to make us to the very image of Christ himself. Oh, I stood one day at Calvary. Have you stood at Calvary? My eyes were full of tears. To think such love that I had refused through all those wasted years. Rhonda, his grandmother, her favourite hymn was, which I shared with you before, was My Jesus, I Love You, and I Know You're Mine. Today, all the follies of sin, I resign. O my gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. Ever I loved thee, my Jesus just now. I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. Ever I loved thee, my Jesus just now. I will love thee in life. I will love thee in death and praise thee for as long as thou lendest me breath. That breath that you've just drawn in, my friends, it's a gift from God here. Good deep breath, everybody. That's a gift from God. Never forget where your breath comes from. And praise thee for as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus is now. In mansions of glory, where many of our family and friends are already there. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. Ever I love thee, my Jesus, just now. And it's only when we draw our last physical breath and our last physical sight, for the very minute when we leave the shell behind, for the very first time in our lives, you and I will know what the love of God really is. The Bible says that the minute you just can see through life with the dark glasses. Through the dark glasses. I had a very embarrassing moment once from the dark glasses. It was one of them sunny days. And I was driving down there and I called Auntie Applegreen just for a Subway. You're hungry, I know. I didn't think anything about it. I couldn't understand why the old place was so dark. I thought the electric must have went out and they're saving money or something, Apple Green. But I just didn't know. I went and got my Subway, hearty Italian, 12-inch, 6 inches for on, full with all the good stuff. You know, friends, when I went back and sat in the car and started to reverse, I looked up in the mirror. I said, oh, crumbs. I walked in there with them old dark glasses on me. An old boy like me, not some of these cool young folk who thinks it's cool. And I thought them folk would be laughing at an old idiot like me. Imagine me walking into Apple Green with a pair of really dark glasses. They were things that were used for the tractor. Friends, that's what it is. We're going through this life with them dark glasses on. But that last millisecond of time as we leave the shell behind and we see Christ in all his glory and we see another level of life. Only one word the Lord Jesus used, he called it paradise. Paradise. Then, for the first time in our lives, we will truly be able to say, oh, but my Jesus, I love you. Because now I really know you're mine. I see with my physical eyes another level of life completely. I see many of my family and friends who went on before us. That's the Saviour that we worship. And the Lord says, I'm going to draw you. I'm not going to hammer you now. And maybe you're praying for family and friends. Don't you be hammering them. Just you say, I'm giving you a wee word of prayer. I just keep praying. Any man can get people off. Religion can put people off. We're just to sow the seed. And the Lord will do the rest. He'll draw that prodigal son in, that prodigal daughter in, that grandchild in. He'll do the drawing. Because he's God. He's God. What time is it? And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.